from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, we have a lot of moving parts today. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy to have you with us. Wow, the Republicans are on the warpath today. That is a great thing. By the way, bad news for all of you Southern Baptists. And when I say bad news for Southern Baptists, I mean bad news for America. Looks like the Southern Baptist Convention, and we'll get into more of this a little bit later on. Southern Baptist Convention, the votes did not go as expected. Conservatives not winning winning the race that they should have won. A lot of the issues are skewing to the left, and it looks as though the nation's largest non-Catholic denomination is now going the way of the Presbyterians and the Methodists. So we're going to keep you updated on that. That's sort of a developing story. We're going to check in with Scott Coulter from the Danbury Institute a little bit later. This is huge, huge, ladies and gentlemen, because if you've got major denominations that are conservative and they are going woke, that spells bad news for the rest of the country. Keep in mind, and just a little bit of history for you, going back to the election of Ronald Reagan against Jimmy Carter, it was the Southern Baptist Convention that led to the election of Ronald Reagan. That was the very first time that Southern Baptists actually organized politically. There was an organization that Jerry Falwell Sr. and Pat Robertson started called the Moral Majority. And, well, Pat Robertson had a separate organization. But the whole point was to mobilize the evangelical vote. Unfortunately, George Soros has been spending a lot of money in this country. And not only has George Soros been buying up district attorneys across the nation and installing these pro-criminal district attorneys, but he's also been infiltrating these religious organizations. And unfortunately, there are many corrupt people now within leadership in the Southern Baptist Convention and her entities. So we're going to get into that, but very disappointing news coming out of Indianapolis, this all breaking over the past hour or so. The other big story of the day that we are following is actually happening on Capitol Hill right now, where Republicans are enraged, and they want Merrick Garland to be held accountable. Now, the question is whether or not Merrick Garland, who is right now in contempt of Congress, or will be, that's what they're voting on, whether or not he will be arrested. And that seems to be a bone of contention among many within the Republican Party, because there are some within the party who say, well, we really don't think that Garland should be arrested. We should take the high road, and we should just move on. We should take the vote, hold him in contempt, and be done with it. That's the attitude of many in leadership right now within the Republican Party. So I'm curious to hear from you over whether or not you believe that Merrick Garland should, that we should go to the mat here, that this is the hill to die on. As a matter of fact, Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna is right now at this very second working on a letter to Congress that would potentially call for a vote for inherent contempt. Now, if this passes, that could lead to the House Sergeant at Arms actually arresting Merrick Garland. So there is a procedure for this. The House is also considering its own contempt resolution, which would push the Justice Department to press charges. Well, that's just a load of hooey. I mean, you think the Justice Department is going to arrest their boss? Of course not. But I'm telling you, this is Merrick Garland is a sleazeball. He is the worst of the worst in the Biden administration. And there are a lot of bad people in the Biden administration, but this guy is the worst of the worst. So the question is, who thinks that Merrick Garland ought to be arrested? And you need to be picking up the phone and you need to be calling your elected member of Congress today. But again, if this goes through, this could be fascinating because, if again, the Republicans have a majority in the House of Representatives right now. So the Republicans have the votes they need to do this. The question is, do they have the stones to do this? That's the big question. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. It's going to be a fascinating day. A lot of moving parts. Politics galore here on the Todd Stearns radio program. By the way, Congressman Kevin Hearn, he is chairman of the House Republican Study Committee, is going to be joining us and giving us the very latest on this Merrick Garland vote in the next hour of the program, and Congressman Matt Rosendale. So we're following this story through all 3 hours of the show today. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be talking with the chief executive officer, the president of Newsmax, my TV boss, and Chris Ruddy will join us. That's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll explain some of the great things happening over at Newsmax Media. All right, we're going to take, you know what, I want to go to the phone lines. We're already getting folks calling in, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Dan in Georgia, WDUN. Now, Dan, I understand that you have been a Democrat your whole life. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
All right, so why are you calling into the program? How can I help you today, Dan?
Well, I don't think anybody can help me because as a Democrat, I was born in the right around 1960. And all my life, I've heard the Democrats say that they wanted to stop handguns from being on the street. All my life. And then every day I turn on the TV and there's someone around me getting killed with a handgun.
Okay.
I turn on the TV and someone's saying, I'm not even near these handguns and it's hurting me. And in 2020, when Joe Biden and the Democrats had the most complete control of Congress I've ever heard of, they did not pass any kind of gun law legislation. And what's so odd now is that in 2018, his son was busted for some kind of gun thing. And also, as a Democrat, and as a working in the 1970s.
So, Dan, let me stop here for just a moment. I'm not understanding your point here. So, are you pro-gun? Are you anti-gun? Are you still a Democrat? What's your point here?
Well, I'm just going to quote.
No, don't quote. Just tell me, are you a Democrat or a Republican? Are you pro-gun, anti-gun?
Well, I'm anti-unregistered handguns.
Okay. So what is the point here? Dan, you get your thoughts together and give us a call back. Again, folks, when you call into the program, you got to be ready to go and to work with our call screener, and we will make that happen. Because really, when you call into the program, you're a part of it, right? We don't let just everybody onto the show. So we want to make sure that everybody is ready and prepared to go on air. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Thanks to the good people at American Hartford Gold, I'm able to bring you this urgent message. Inflation is on the rise again. The dollar is in danger of collapse, and an overheated stock market could crash at any time. The upcoming election is only adding to the chaos. That's why you should contact the good folks at American Hartford Gold to help you safeguard your financial future with physical gold and silver. You can diversify your savings with precious metals delivered right to your door or in a tax-advantaged gold IRA. Protect your retirement from a collapsing dollar and crashing stock prices. Call 855-913-1133 or text Todd to 65532 today for a free gold and silver information kit. And if you call now, they'll send you up to $15,000 of free silver on qualifying purchases. Gold has hit record highs and keeps climbing. So call 855-913-1133 or text Todd now to 65532 for your free informational kit today. All right, well, Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Happy to have you with us today. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Say hello to Dorothy. Hi, Dorothy. What's on your mind today?
I'm doing great. I was calling because I don't think Merrick Garland should be arrested. At least he went to the Congress and answered some of those questions. I don't think he should have had to go. And they forget about the fact that at least he honored the subpoena when people like Jim Jordan and some of the others, they refuse to even show up when they're subpoenaed. So how quickly they choose to forget.
Dorothy, that's not, no, this is not about a matter of testifying. They want him to turn over the recording, the audio recordings of President Biden that are apparently so devastating and that show just how old and feeble he is. That they're refusing to do that. So Merrick Garland is refusing to turn over that material to Congress. That is why he is going to be held in contempt of Congress. It's not a matter of testifying. He's withholding evidence.
I don't think he should turn them over.
Why is that?
Because they haven't asked anybody else. But why? Because it doesn't mean that he's old and feeble. That's just their spin on it.
Well, that's not according to the transcripts. Dorothy, according to the transcripts, he is old and feeble.
Listen, have you listened to 45 in his presentations when he's on the campaign trail?
He sounds great. He did the whole rally last weekend without a teleprompter, Dorothy.
But he only talks about himself and revenge. What in the world is wrong with you people?
Who are you calling you people? What, you people? Who are you talking about?
Same thing you all do. The people that support this crazy man. He's ridiculous.
Joe Biden? Oh, he is crazy.
I'm talking about Donald Trump.
Well, Donald Trump is a great American patriot, wants to make America great again. And Dorothy did more for the black community in America than any Democrat president has done, including Barack Hussein Obama.
A patriot that instigated the insurrection.
No, he didn't, Dorothy. Serious? Dorothy, that's simply not true. The facts do not match up with what you just said, ma'am.
But did you listen to him?
I did listen to him. Every single word. Got a little misty.
Anyway, just no getting through to you all, but that's okay. You have a great day.
Dorothy, I want you to call us back one of these days, and we will try to convert you to the right way of thinking. But I'm not getting, folks, the facts are the facts, and the facts are that Donald Trump called for peace multiple times on that day, January the 6th. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Paul Ryan, by the way, was on Cavuto's show. Now, Paul Ryan is on the board of directors at Fox, and Neil Cavuto hates Donald Trump. So they spent, about a half an hour just ripping President Trump to shreds. I mean, it really was off-putting and despicable. And at some point, you would have thought that Cavuto would have had some sort of, I don't know, they used to do this thing called fair and balance over there, but they're not anymore. Paul Ryan, and by the way, Trump is calling Paul Ryan a pathetic rhino, which is very gracious. But here's what Paul Ryan had to say about that. Cut number six.
He posted this on Truth Social last month. Rupert Murdoch should fire this pathetic rhino, Paul Ryan, from the board of Fox. He said that Ryan is a loser, always has been, always will be. He was the weakest and most incompetent speaker of the House in its history.
That's saying
Fox
something.
Will sink to the absolute bottom of the pack if Paul Ryan has anything to do with it. You do serve on our board of directors, so he's saying you shouldn't.
Look, I got death, taxes, and weird stuff from Donald Trump. These are the three certainties in my life. So to me, it's just another day in a life. Fealty to Trump is what rhino is, right? Meaning if you don't pledge fealty to this man, then you are a rhino. It used to mean a liberal Republican versus a conservative. I'm a conservative Republican. He's a populist. He's not a conservative. I want to see someone who has fidelity to principles. I would prefer a party that is based on principles, not personality or populism. This populism is untethered to principles, and that's why, I'm an anti-establishment Republican.
Oh, so Paul Ryan is calling himself an anti-establishment Republican. Anybody buying that out there? I mean, this is bonkers. Paul Ryan, John Boehner, crying John, drinking martinis all the time with the fake spray tan. These guys never stood up for the conservative movement. As a matter of fact, Paul Ryan opposed Donald Trump's agenda from day one in the House of Representatives. And then Ryan goes around and he attacks Trump's character. And this is really beneath the belt. Cut number nine.
I don't support Biden either. I think his policies are terrible. I hate the fact that I feel like I got to write in a Republican like I did the last time in 2020. I voted for him in 2016, hoping that there was going to be a different kind of person in office. And I do think character is a really important issue. If you put yourself above the Constitution, as he has done.
But what happened?
I think that makes you unfit for office.
Was it the whole January 6th thing?
That's a part of it. I think it's a contribution of factors. But I think it really is just character at the end of the day. And the fact that if you're willing to put yourself above the Constitution, an oath you swear when you take office in federal office, whether it's president or a member of Congress, you swear an oath to the Constitution. And if you're willing to suborn it to yourself, I think that makes you unfit for office.
All right, so he's calling Trump unfit for office, among other things, questioning the man's character. Now, this is why Paul Ryan will not come on this radio program, and we have extended the invitation multiple times. And here's the reason why. And you heard this in the interview. Cavuto never pushed back at all. Cavuto should have said, well, wait a second. You've said two times now, Mr. Ryan, that Trump put himself above the Constitution. How did he do that? You said that Trump did not follow the Constitution. All right, give us an example. Just give us one example of that. And he can't do it because they know it's not true. He's just parroting Democrat talking points here. And it's really shocking that Fox would do this, but that's one of their lowest rated hours, though. I mean, you know, you hate to say it. I mean, Cavuto, you know, he's been there since, I don't know, the beginning. But the fact of the matter is, He's gone to the woke side. It's really sad, but that's the reality. Let's go to Mary. Hi, Mary. What say you?
Good morning, Todd. Or is it afternoon? I don't know. But listen, I've got a few things to say. Merrick Garland needs to be held in contempt. We need to take the gloves off. I don't care what Paul Ryan thinks or Mr. Boehner thinks. I think they are rhinos. They're a bunch of, they get five Pinocchios as far as I'm concerned. And we need to fight for our country. And they are not going to brainwash us. And they can talk until they're blue in the face. We're not having it. Like Mr. Bannon says, we've had a belly full. We got 4 years of Trump to compare to the disaster Marxist, communist, bullcrap. There's more bullcrap than in a rodeo with Biden, and we've had it. So they can spin all they want. They're a bunch of spiders. We are fed up. And November 5th, we're going to show the Democrats that we don't want Biden in the White House, and I hope 60% of what's there gets fired by Mr. Trump. We have had it. Enough is enough. We got to take back our country. You got to grow some stones. Or like the Spanish people say, cojones.
Oh, bilingual. All right. Thank you, Mary. Mary, you're a little fired up today, aren't you?
Always.
Mary, I love it. I like that fire in your belly. Give us a call back. That's what we need. We need millions of people like Mary with that attitude, and we will win on Election Day. But if we pussyfoot around, we're going to end up like the Southern Baptist today in Indianapolis, and we're going to go woke. And I really don't want us to go down that path. It will be a difficult and dangerous 4 years if Trump does not get back into the White House. And quite frankly, it could end up being the very last election we have in this country. I mean, we've got a lot riding on what's going to happen in November, folks. I'm just telling you. All right, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Chris Ruddy, the president, the CEO of Newsmax Media, coming up next. We'll be right back, folks. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us on the show today. Coming up in just a little while, we're going to be talking to Congressman Kevin Hern. He is chairman of the Republican Study Committee. Also, Congressman Matt Rosendale, a member of the House Freedom Caucus, as we're waiting for this vote on whether or not to hold Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress. So a lot of moving parts today here in Washington. All right. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. It's a great honor to have with us the chief executive officer of Newsmax, the most awesome cable news channel out there, Chris Ruddy. Chris, hope you're doing well today.
Todd, I'm always well when I'm on your show, that's for sure.
And
I appreciate having me on.
And, of course, the coolest show on Newsmax, too, the Todd Stern Show. So you can...
Well, we love having you on. We think you're not only a great opinion maker, but you're a great newsman, and that's a rare quality to have both. And so and you have a great radio show, and you're moving and shaking, so you're making an impact.
Well, we're having a lot of fun, and I can tell you I've been on the book tour, and we've been meeting so many people, and to a person, folks coming up and just they love Newsmax. They love Newsmax, too. They love NewsmaxPlus.com. I mean, there are just so many great things happening. And, Chris, the big news that we're talking about this week is that Newsmax plans to go public this year. Tell us and take us through that process. That's exciting.
Well, we are really excited about this. We announced this week, just on Monday, that we are going to go public later this year, subject to government approvals, and that we're going to go public on either the NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange. So Newsmax will be a public company, and we're hoping either late this year or early next year. We have a great story to tell. We have a great business. We're also offering investors now the ability to come in before the IPO, get early shares, pre-IPO shares, as they say. And certain investors that are accredited as fit certain criteria made by the SEC can invest. So we're getting phenomenal response. And as you know, President Trump's media company went public, and it's worth over $7, $8 billion now. And while we're not saying we're the same as President Trump's media company, we certainly are a fresh alternative media that people are going to.
I think it's a brilliant way to describe it. And I'm just curious, what are you hearing from viewers out there about all of the great changes at Newsmax over these past couple of years?
Well, they love Newsmax. I mean, right now we're the fourth highest rated cable news channel. We're just behind CNN. I mean, imagine that. We're just behind their multi-billion-dollar company. We're just behind them. We're reaching about 40 million Americans regularly. We have a huge multi-million audience on Newsmax 2, our streaming channel that your show is on. We're on 16 million followers across social media. Just huge reach. We even have a magazine, but we have apps and email lists. And the reach is just enormous. And I think people are coming because, just like President Trump, right, they're tired of the biased media that they're finding across this country. And they realize that if the media is completely owned and operated by the left, this country is going to be in trouble. And Fox News, unfortunately, is changing. It's not what it was when you worked there and when it was like 10, 20 years ago. So Newsmax is it. We're at the cutting edge, and we hope people will go to NewsmaxInvest.com to join us on our mission.
And, folks, we're going to put a direct link up on our live show blog as well, NewsmaxInvest.com. No, I think you're spot on here. And when you see the landscape, it encourages me and excites me to see so many different opinions represented on Newsmax. And, you know, the hosts are not afraid to debate the issues with maybe somebody who disagrees. And I think that just makes a stronger, healthier country when we're able to take that sort of approach to what we're doing on cable television.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, the whole point about news is that there's a debate. Now they're saying if you listen to the ABC, CBS, NBC, and there's just one opinion and you have to accept it. Newsmax has people that are pro-Trump, anti-Trump. Go on MSNBC. They're all anti-Trump. They're only one way. CNN is pretty much the case. Why is that? I mean, the president's being sued by four legal actions that are clearly political. This has never happened in history for relatively minor things. A president decides when documents are classified. How can he be being pursued by this? This crime in New York that he supposedly can't even name exactly what the crime is. These are ridiculous and dangerous times. And I think that's really important why the Todd Starnes show on radio is extremely important on TV, and why Newsmax, I think, is millions of people are tuning in.
Chris, you know, folks out there listening, and I think they're probably asking this question, why should I invest in Newsmax, and why should people be doing that?
Well, I think it's a good company. It's a growth story. You're standing, you know, one of the things, we could have stayed private and been a very successful company. We felt like, wouldn't it be great if we had hundreds of thousands of investors joining with us, partnering with us, so that we go around the country, we actually have co-owners. We love this idea. So we like the idea of being public. We're very transparent as a business, as a company. So we fit the mold of a public company. And we see the success that, and where other people can participate in our success. If the company's successful, if the stock price goes up, they'll benefit. And we do think that we've got a really strong, stable company, and we have a great team of people here. I know you deal with them a lot. And I think it's one of the reasons why, and we've got a lot of press about, the Wall Street Journal just did an article about our IPO, and other media.
Yeah, I mean, the reaction has been really strong and great. And again, when you look at the numbers, I mean, this is a major success story, and it is, sometimes it's hard to cut through the noise, but you guys, you know, Newsmax hasn't just cut through, though, you have exploded through it. And I think that we're going to be looking at, you know, maybe competing, you know, moving beyond CNN very soon, as people are just, you know, embracing the great vision and the purpose of Newsmax.
Well, we're hoping that, I think we are breaking through, right? I mean, look at the success of this election. Who would think that Donald Trump would actually be leading in the polls? I think it's because he has a platform in places like Newsmax, the Todd Starnes show, and others, to get his side out. We have both sides on both. We even cover President Biden very carefully. But I think the public, that's why they're hiding Biden. That's why Biden does so few press conferences. They don't want the public to make a decision about him. They want the public to make a decision about Donald Trump. And frankly, I think the public likes what they're hearing on the Trump front.
Chris Ruddy is the CEO of Newsmax, joining us. NewsmaxInvest.com is the website. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. And Chris, before I let you go, I just have to brag on that magazine. It really is. I came up on the print journalism side of things, and it is so well done. And the articles, you know, these in-depth, deep dives, love it.
Well, thank you. The magazine's also booming. You know, we had a readership of, well, what, 600,000 or 700,000 a month that are tuning in. Largest conservative monthly Newsmax magazine. Look it up online. Or just call 1-800-NEWSMAX, and you can also get the magazine. But we would also encourage you to go check out NewsmaxInvest.com today.
Absolutely. Folks, that's what it's about, NewsmaxInvest.com. Again, all the information is there. I was just there last night. It's a very, you're able to maneuver through the website. It's very easy, NewsmaxInvest.com. And Chris, I know you're going to be up on the N2 show with me at 5 o'clock Eastern, and that's always going to be a lot of fun. We have a very active YouTube live chat audience, by the way. They're a lot of fun.
Well, I know, like, our audience loves you. They find Newsmax on YouTube, they find you on YouTube, and they're really engaged, aren't they?
They really are, and I like that. And I like, you know, during the commercial breaks, we can hop on and have a little bit of fun, have some conversation. I think it shocked them initially. They're like, wait a second, is this really Starnes? But, yeah, it's fun. That's what it's all about. And, you know, I look at Newsmax as a giant, you know, a giant front porch across America. And I got to tell you, we may need a much bigger front porch.
Well, I love that analogy. It is really a front porch to politics, to life, to the important issues.
All right. Well, Chris, we got to get you to Memphis one of these days. We'll show you around to some great rib joints.
Well, we'll set it up. I'm looking forward to it. Let's plan on a rib party, a rib dinner.
I love it. NewsmaxInvest.com, ladies and gentlemen. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. Chris Ruddy, the Chief Executive Officer, President of Newsmax Media. Chris, always good talking, and we'll see you on TV later today.
Great speaking to you, Todd. Thank you so much.
All right. There you go, folks. Chris Ruddy, he's my boss over at Newsmax, so the head honcho, and it's a lot of fun. It's a fun place to be, and you see that. If you watch our show, you kind of get that vibe. And if you watch us on the YouTube stream, the Newsmax 2 live stream, it's so much fun. We go back and forth, and folks love it when I go after the trolls. So we try to have a lot of fun there on the show. And you can watch that on YouTube, Facebook Live, Newsmax 2. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. We're going to get to your calls. That's 901-260-5926. And if you want to own a part of Newsmax, go to NewsmaxInvest.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us. By the way, do you have a signed copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming? Can America Be Saved? If not, head over to the website right now, toddstearns.com, and get yourself a copy. And if you have read the book, would love to hear from you. Let me know your thoughts. We'd love to hear reader reviews. Just give us a call. 901-260-5926. All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Fred joining us and wants to talk about Hunter Biden. Hi, Fred. What's up?
Hey, Todd. You know, you're always hearing the Democrats talk about being tough on gun law. Suppose his girlfriend takes a gun, puts it in a public trash can. Suppose some kids would have came by and found that instead of the dumpster diver that was looking for plastic. You know, suppose some children would have came by and found that thing in the trash can. And I don't hear anybody even saying anything about that. You know, his crackhead girlfriend takes a gun and puts it in a local trash can where a homeless person or a bunch of children, anybody could have found that gun. And to me, that's a bigger crime than what Hunter's committed.
Well, look, yeah, this is the least of the concerns about Hunter Biden. I hear what you're saying. And I mean, yes, this was the right thing to do. But the reality is there are much bigger crimes going on here that could literally bring down the entire administration. And what they're hoping, Fred, with this gun conviction is that it all goes away now and that people will have sympathy for Hunter Biden.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's just put the shoe on the other foot. Can you imagine what the left-wing news media would be saying if this was Donald Trump's son that done that?
Oh, absolutely.
They talk about all these tough gun laws, but I was listening to them this morning. Oh, well, it ain't no big deal. You know, he shouldn't even be charged with this. Well, you know what? I got a gun permit. If that had been me, they'd already be looking for a tree to string me up on. You know, but my whole deal is, you know, they're always talking about, you know, these red flag laws and all these crazy gun laws. Suppose some children would have found that gun.
It's a great point, Fred, a great point, and I appreciate your call. By the way, Jim Banks just moments ago, writing this, House Republicans have just moved to defund the Ukrainian NGO that created a watch list. The Ukrainians have created a watch list, and on that list are conservative lawmakers and private American citizens who believe that we should be defunding Ukraine. We ought to pull every single penny of American money out of that country. I mean, the fact that they're using that money to target, I mean, do we have what, kill teams wandering around, Ukrainian kill teams wandering around the country? Are they going to start taking out all of us who believe that we have no business being involved in that conflict right now? But I'm telling you, I just shared this with Fred. I want to read something to you. This was in the New York Times, and they are going to portray Hunter Biden as some sort of a sympathetic, we should all feel sorry for Hunter Biden, that he's just innocent in all of this. And I want to read to you, this is the actual lead of the New York Times coverage of Hunter Biden yesterday after he was convicted of the gun charge. And Dylan, I should have asked for some soft piano music in the background. So if you can find some, you can just go ahead and bring it up. But this illustrates what they're about to do with Hunter Biden. They're going to portray him as the innocent victim here. Do not be surprised if a story comes out about Hunter Biden allegedly trying to do, you know, he's in a bad spot, Hunter is. He's in a horrible spot. So I want to read to you this New York. We have to set the mood. Let's lower the lighting here in the Todd Stern studio, and I shall speak with my public welfare voice. Hunter Biden was waiting for his father on the tarmac. He had just been convicted of three felony gun charges by a jury in Wilmington, Delaware, his hometown. His father had hastily rearranged his schedule and rushed up from Washington. Within hours of the verdict, President Biden traveled home, disembarked from Marine One, and embraced his son. The president hugged Hunter Biden's son and wife and kissed the child on his lips. I added that. He bent over to kiss the head of his grandson, Beau Biden, to call the relationship between father and son battle-tested is an understatement. You see, that's the actual lead of the New York Times story. She's a loop. You see him writing about, I mean, this is like a bad romance novel. President Biden, where's the piano music again? This is terrible. President Biden, gently bending down, caressing the hair of his grandson, lifting his grandson's chin so that he could embrace his lips with his grandson's. Where's that line? By the way, that's exactly what happened. Did you see the video? The poor grandson was so repulsed. It's like, what the heck is going on here? Stranger danger! You can't make this up, but this is the New York Times. So all I'm trying to say is, get ready, because they're going to be slobbering and sobbing all over this guy. But the gun charge, that's the least of our worries right now. It really is. So we'll be paying close attention to that, and we'll see how things play out. Jeez, Alu. Coming up, we've got to tell you this story. A college in New York State, they're now teaching men who identify as women, they're teaching them to cough and to sneeze like girls. So it's all part of this whole transgender transition thing. I suppose they're teaching the girls how to belch and how to scratch their nether regions. So we're going to get into that story in the next hour of the program. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Don't forget, folks, head over to ToddStearns.com. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, you got to do it. There is so much censorship going on out there right now. The only way that you're going to be able to get our content is to sign up for our free newsletter. We will not spam you. We do not share your information. But again, That is a free service of the Todd Stearns Radio Show family. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we are watching debate right now underway on Capitol Hill. As the House prepares to hold Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress. Now, there are a lot of moving parts here, and we, you know, if there is a vote during this show, we'll dip in and bring that to you live. But it is, it's a serious thing. And we heard from Congressman Jim Jordan. He's chair of Judiciary. Jordan was up on Capitol Hill about 2 hours ago saying that the resolution will be on the House floor today. So the question is, should Republicans go down this path? Should they hold Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, in contempt of Congress for refusing to turn over those documents? Here is the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, James Comer. He was speaking on the House floor just moments ago.
Thank you. I appreciate the gentleman from Ohio for yielding. Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of the resolution. This is not a complicated matter. The Oversight and Judiciary Committees issued duly authorized legal subpoenas to Attorney General Garland for a certain set of documents, including the audio recordings of Special Counsel Herr's interview with President Biden. The Attorney General has refused to produce these audio recordings. Unlike what my Democratic colleagues keep claiming, this is not just Republicans who need these recordings for their oversight duties. Media outlets, including the AP, CBS, CNN, NBC, and the Washington Post, among others, have filed suit to get these same audio recordings as well. Because the media, like everyone else, knows there's no substitute for a recording of an interview. Not a transcript, not a summary, not the Attorney General's judgment that Congress doesn't need it. The Oversight Committee's investigation of these classified documents has already revealed that the White House's official timeline of events regarding these classified materials left out very important details. For instance, White House employees were entering the Penn Biden Center and moving documents months before the discovery of the classified materials by President Biden's personal attorneys in November 2022. One of those employees was former White House counsel Dana Remus. We issued a subpoena for Mrs. Remus's deposition, but the White House has blocked Mrs. Remus from speaking to the Oversight Committee. The White House has also blocked other White House employees who visited the Penn Biden Center before November 2022 from speaking to us. What is the Biden administration trying to hide? Attorney General Merrick Garland's refusal to produce this evidence establishes a clear pattern of obstruction by the DOJ to cover up President Biden's wrongdoing. President Biden has lied to the American people about his mishandling of classified documents. He has repeatedly denied not knowing about or being involved in his family's influence peddling schemes, which the Oversight Committee can now show has raked in $18 million from foreign individuals and entities for the Biden family members, including President Biden himself. He also met with nearly all his family's foreign associates. President Biden's Department of Justice appears to be taking every step to insulate him from the consequences, whether it's hiding these audio recordings or attempting to give Hunter Biden a sweetheart plea deal to shield Joe Biden from facing accountability for his role in his family's influence peddling schemes. This is unacceptable. The House of Representatives cannot serve as a necessary check on the presidency if the executive branch is free to ignore the House's subpoenas. I urge my colleagues to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress, and I yield back.
All right. Well, thank you for yielding back. So look, ladies and gentlemen, this is the moment of choosing. Now, we told you earlier the Congresswoman Luna from Florida has introduced a piece of legislation that really could be a game changer. We're talking about Anna Paulina Luna, and she is an Air Force veteran, great patriot. And she believes that it is time to play hardball. As a matter of fact, there is a way for Republicans to, because again, if this is passed, it will be up to the Justice Department about whether or not to arrest Merrick Garland. So that's not going to happen. So Luna wants to create another way, another path forward. And her plan is to hold Garland in inherent contempt. Now, an inherent contempt action would lead to the House Sergeant at Arms arresting Merrick Garland. And I just say it's time to play hardball here, folks. And if we're not going to play hardball, then we may as well just throw in the towel. This is an opportunity for the Republicans to push back. You're going to go after our guy. We're going to go after 10 of yours. I mean, that needs to be the mentality here. This is not some sort of a country club. This is a street fight, and you got to play by their rules. And you better believe if the shoe was on the other foot, the Democrats would be doing the same thing. But it's time for a little bit of payback here. And the fact of the matter is, it's not just the committee that wants that audio of Biden's interview with the special counsel. Multiple major news agencies, including the Associated Press, have sued to get those recordings. So this is not just the Republicans playing politics. This is the Republicans wanting important information. And if what I've been told is on those videos is true, then they're going to have to invoke the 25th Amendment. And that's why they don't want those videos. They don't want the videos. They don't want the audio coming out. That's the reason why. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926 is our number. Hey, I want to tell you about our podcast, by the way. We haven't really promoted it lately, and we need to. It's time to start growing again. We've got upwards of a million people that download the podcast every month, and we want you to get a copy of the podcast as well. It is free of charge. All you have to do is go to our website, click on the podcast tab at the top, and you'll be able to get it however you get your podcast, whether it's iHeart, whether it's iTunes, Apple, or Spotify, you name it, Google, they've got them all over there. All right, I've got to tell you about our friends at Patriot Mobile, and now Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They are supporting our military and our veterans and our first responders. That's right, they are now supporting groups like Folds of Honor and Helping a Hero, Boots for Warriors, and Tunnel to Towers, and they've got a great cell phone service. So when you switch, and by the way, if you use my code Todd, they're going to give you free activation. But when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you get to keep your phone, you get to keep your number. You could upgrade your phone if you want to, but their U.S.-based customer service team is going to keep you very, very happy. I can promise you that. Go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or you can call them right now, 972-PATRIOT. They have Americans standing by to answer your call, 972-PATRIOT. Use my offer code Todd, and they're going to give you free activation, so make the switch today.
And the reason why we're here today is because the Attorney General thought he was above the law and did not comply not just with one subpoena, but with two subpoenas. Those are subpoenas from both Chairman Jordan and Chairman Comer. I want to read this to you because ultimately, if in 10 days the Department of Justice does not do their job and hold the Attorney General responsible, just like they would any other American, I think that it should be our job in the House of Representatives to bring an inherent contempt proceeding against the Attorney General, of which I've already filed that privilege motion over a week ago. This is something that we reserve as an authority in order to bring back order to a House that has seemed to have forgotten it. And so with that, Chairman, I just wanted to let you all know, as my colleagues, because I'm sure we will debate this on the floor, I fully intend in 10 days after this passes out of committee to hold Attorney General Garland in inherent contempt of Congress if the Department of Justice does not do their job.
There you go, folks. Thank you very much, Congresswoman Luna, just a little while ago on the House floor. We're going to be talking to Kevin Hearn. Well, hopefully we're going to be talking to Congressman Kevin Hearn. They've got a lot of moving parts right now, and we will be talking to him later on this hour of the program. So the audio is just not great here, so we're not going to play this. But I want to describe a scene on a New York City subway car last night. So you have a packed subway car, and keep in mind, the largest concentration of Jews in America is New York City. Believe it or not, here in Memphis, Tennessee, we have a very large, vibrant Jewish community. And as a matter of fact, our bunker, our news bunker, is located near one of the Orthodox communities, and just the kindest folks. And Lord love them. Dylan, you'll see them walk into synagogue on Saturday in the neighborhoods, and it's like, you know, 130 degrees outside, 200% humidity, and everybody's still wearing the coats and the hats, and you're just like, geez, hello.
You feel bad for wearing shorts.
You show up at a Baptist church, everybody's in shorts and a t-shirt. Sure. No shoes. So anyway, there are a lot of Jews in New York City, and they ride the subway cars. So anyway, there was a packed subway. This happened during rush hour. And all of a sudden, these women walk on and they're wearing the hijabs, the Muslim hijabs. And they've got the whole garb on, the Islamic garb. And they start shouting, raise your hands if you're a Zionist. This is your chance to get out. What would you do if you were on that subway car? I sure the heck would have gotten out of there. And I'm telling you, folks, it is open season on Jews in this country. Now, I just want to, let's posit a theory. Here's an idea. Let's play a game. Let's just say that you had a bunch of people getting on board the subway car, and they said, raise your hands if you're trans. This is your chance to get out. That would be on every major national news show. You'd have the governor coming out holding a press conference. Letitia James, Fat Alvin Bragg would come out. They would demand that people pay the price, hate crime charges. There would be a massive manhunt for the people who said that. I am telling you, we had Robin Poppin on the show yesterday. And Robin is convinced, and she and I were texting last night, and she is convinced that the stage is being set for something very horrible and awful to happen in this country. Something so terrible that they would have to implement martial law, or that they would postpone or cancel the elections. She really does believe that. And look, she's been in journalism for, gosh, 30 years now. She is a journalism professor. She has covered crime. We worked together at Fox News for years. So when she's concerned, I get concerned, because normally Robin is pretty right about these things. And she just has a feeling. And something's just off about what's happening in the country right now. But when you've got Muslims fully garbed coming onto subways in New York City and saying, this is, you know, Jews, identify yourself, and then we're going to give you a chance to get out. That implies that those who don't get out could be in harm's way. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Can we talk about crime for a moment? This is ridiculous. So in Oakland, California, they have had a big, big problem with people stealing cars. It's unbelievable. As a matter of fact, there is a report out. Over 100 cars were stolen in one day. In one day, 118 cars, my apologies, 48 hours, 118 cars stolen in just 48 hours in Oakland, California. Meanwhile, and again, the criminals, they rule the city. These are all Democrats. They have a Soros DA in Oakland. And so this poor little homeowner, a 77-year-old guy, he was in his home, and all of a sudden, three bad guys come in. They're burglarizing his home. This is a home invasion, right? So what does the 77-year-old homeowner do? Well, Let's listen to this report. Cut number five.
A burglary suspect was shot by a resident near 98th Avenue and Burr Street in East Oakland. Oakland firefighters and paramedics worked to save the suspect, but he died at the scene. Now, I've learned the 77-year-old homeowner is in jail, arrested by Oakland police on suspicion of murder. It happened just before 6 on Monday evening. Authorities say two men and a woman pulled up to the home in the stolen Infiniti Q40. A witness told police the three went onto the property and that one of the men had a crowbar. That witness then reported hearing a gunshot. I have learned from court documents that according to police, officers arrived and found the homeowner pointing a stolen .357 Colt Python revolver at the female suspect. That woman told police the homeowner had shot her friend. Police say they found the other male suspect at the scene with a replica gun and arrested him on suspicion of burglary. No charges have been filed against the homeowner, pending a review by the Alameda County DA's office. No one answered the door on Tuesday.
It's going to be a pending case.
On Tuesday, I caught up with DA Pamela Price at an unrelated news conference, and she and other law enforcement officials said no assumptions should be made just because the homeowner is in jail. Prosecutors have until Thursday to decide whether to charge him. I have learned he declined to talk to investigators.
You're not supposed to chase them. If you chase them and shoot them, for example, in the back, that is unlawful.
But KTVU legal analyst Michael Cardoza says depending on the facts, the homeowner could still argue self-defense.
If you are in imminent fear of your life or someone else's life in your home, you have every right to take necessary means of self-defense against the invader.
All right, there you go. By the way, one of the suspects had a fake gun. So the this guy showed up to a gunfight with a fake gun. Sorry, you get what you get what's coming to you. Now, I want to say something here. There is the district attorney. And by the way, this is happening in New York City, right? Where good guys who are out there protecting the citizens from these evil people, they're the ones that get in trouble. Remember the Marine veteran who stopped this maniac on the New York City subway, now facing charges, could spend years in prison. So this poor homeowner, and this is what really got me about this story, is that he's been arrested on suspicion of murder. 77 years old. This man is a homeowner, and he is still behind bars while the district attorney considers whether to file charges. What harm is... This man is a hero. This man did what he was supposed to do. He defended his home and his property against these very bad thugs. How much longer is this guy going to have to stay in jail? Can you imagine being 77 years old and you're literally having to sleep in a cot behind bars and your only crime is actually defending your life? Unbelievable. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let me say this. Memphis, Tennessee, last night, on the interstate, ladies and gentlemen, five people shot, including four children, a pair of three-year-olds and a two-year-old among the victims. One of our KWAM listeners was in the emergency room when they came rushing in. Private vehicles. Turns out they think it may have been a road rage case. The cops caught two people. It's a war zone across America, ladies and gentlemen. And we're controlled by a Soros DA here who wants to let the criminals out of jail. I'll tell you more about that coming up. Hang tight if you're on hold. All right, welcome.
On this vote, the yeas are 208, the nays are 207. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion reconsider is laid upon the table.
All right, there you go. That just happened. Merrick Garland held in contempt of Congress. The vote, 208 to 207. We're going to get a breakdown of how many Republicans voted against it. But right now, we have about 10 that did not vote. We'll keep you updated once all the votes and everything get finalized. So there you go. All right. So yesterday in Memphis, Tennessee, a mass shooting during rush hour. Now, It was insanity. It happened on Interstate I-240, which is a major interstate here. We believe our sources are telling us it was some form of road rage. And the guy, so there were two guys in a vehicle, and they just opened fire. There's an 18-year-old, and the other guy, I believe, was 19 or 20. And they opened fire on this car, 21-year-old, 18-year-old. They're facing six counts of attempted first-degree murder, along with a lot of other charges. So anyway, this happened during rush hour. The car was filled with a 2-year-old, 2 3-year-olds, and an 8-year-old. All of them were shot, including a 30-year-old man who was believed to be driving the car. The children, everybody's in critical condition. And we just have to hope and pray that they survive. So anyway, police spotted the vehicle. They gave chase. Then another police car crashed. That officer's okay. The chase continued, and then the suspects crashed their car. They bailed, and police chased them on foot and captured the bad guys. And they're now in jail. But again, they're saying they think this is road rage. And Dylan, you said that you were almost the victim of a road rage incident yesterday.
I was. Just a couple hours before this, too, which is like scary to think about, but it kind of gives you a picture of how bad it is to drive in Memphis.
That's insane.
Like, you know, the lady was driving right up behind me. You know, we were getting off. You're merging onto the interstate, the same interstate that this happened on, by the way. And she got really close to me. I guess I was going too slow. And then when we got on the interstate, she got beside me, rolled down her window. She flipped me off. And then she got in front of me and brake checked me.
Get out of here.
Yep.
On the interstate.
On the interstate. Cars everywhere. Basically rush hour.
You see, this is, I mean, it's a war zone out there, and I remember I was driving not too far away from here, and he wasn't moving. He was at the traffic light, and we went through one traffic light cycle, and so finally in the next one, he was still not doing, I don't know what he was doing, but I just tapped a love tap on the horn. That guy reaches in, and he pulls a gun out, and he holds the gun out the window. And I thought, what? Really? That escalated quickly.
It's crazy.
It's a certain demographic of driver, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm just telling you right now, we can't even adequately describe the chaos on the roadways around here. Memphis now leads the nation, I think, in road accidents, car accidents, and deaths in cars. We're the most violent city in America. We're the deadliest city in America. And our leadership, they're all Democrats, and they say, no, everything's fine. Everything's hunky-dory. We want to be known for our black swagger and soul. I mean, that's literally what the mayor said. The mayor literally said, I'm not making this up. The mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, says that he wants Memphis to be known for its black swagger and soul. The district attorney announced yesterday that they're going to start giving felons a pass. So if you're a felon and you're arrested for a crime and you have a gun on you, you will not be facing a charge. That's the decision from the district attorney. Unbelievable. But that's the reality of it. They arrested a lot of gang members over the weekend, and we were all very excited about this because up until then, the mayor had been inviting the gang leaders to City Hall for milk and cookies. And the mayor said it's important to hear the voice of the gangsters. Pardon me, the gangsters. And the mayor says that, and I think he rolled up the red carpet. I mean, it was like the mega stuff Oreos I heard. And not the cheap Hydrox. I mean, we're talking about big mega stuff Oreos and delicious whole milk. So it was very tasty. But anyway, the gangsters, they told the mayor, well, you know, if you want us to stop carjacking and killing people, then you're going to have to give us some more activities at the community center. So the mayor is working on a midnight basketball plan. So anyway, over the weekend, things are so bad they did have to go and arrest the gangsters. But now they're all back out on the street again. So they were arrested and then they were released. This is what we have to deal with here. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. Jerry in Iowa. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind?
Your bumper music still gives me the joy of the Lord. So I want to pose the question, would the Democrats ever declare martial law for, say, no good reason? Would they cross that line? So isn't that kind of a hoax too far? Or would they abuse the decency of that thing too? So would the Democrats ever declare martial law for no good reason? I just wonder what you think.
Yes. Yes. I mean, they've arrested and charged Trump for no good reason. So, yeah, Jerry, I think they would. And I think it would be something so terrible and so horrible that many Republicans would actually agree that it was the right decision to make.
Well, if we just stock up on Bibles and do a little bit of offline living, get used to it now, I think we'll just, you know, we'll be fine.
Well, I don't mind stocking up on Bibles, but I think we should be stocking up on some high-caliber Bibles. So, if you know what I mean. I really do. I think every family, if you're a law-abiding gun owner, man, I think you need to be out there stocking up. You need to be, you know, making sure that you and your family are prepared in the event that something happens. And when you've got the, and by the way, the Russian Navy pulled into port earlier today in Cuba, Jerry. So you've got the Russian Navy off the Florida coastline. You've got a nuclear-powered sub lurking about. Meanwhile, the announcement came yesterday that, what, eight terrorists were captured. They were actually allowed in the country, and now they have been captured. We've got a lot of dangerous things out there, Jerry.
Well, yeah. So there was a movie years ago called, like, the line was, "The Russians are coming, the Russians are coming." It was sort of a parody of sorts, but I didn't know that they're arriving in Florida at this time. So thanks for that news report. Jeez Louise, what is going on?
I'm telling you, man, and Russia is basically giving Biden a great big middle finger right now down in Cuba, as JFK called it.
Everyone must get from street. Everyone to get from street. That's a line in "The Russians Are Coming."
I remember that. I saw that movie. Was that like in the 60s or 70s?
So
that
was, it comes aground in the Northeast America, and these Russians are forced to go on shore. It's like in the 1960s. The yokels are not used to having Russians sneaking around. It's kind of funny on one hand back then. I just didn't really see our future being like that.
Jerry, here's the headline. Jerry, here's the headline from the Miami Herald. Russian warships, nuclear submarine, enter Havana Harbor under the watch of U.S. destroyers. I mean, we're talking 90 miles from Key West. You know, we could have World War III breaking out in our own backyard.
I think God, Ron DeSantis, is North Navy SEALs, and I think he'll take his people, all of them, will just chip in. It'll be fine. The Russians, I fear for them right now.
Open source satellite data placed the Russian warships just 26 nautical miles from Key Largo. And the Russian government news agency TASS says that the submarine that's parked in the harbor is capable of approaching U.S. shores within 50 kilometers and carrying out assigned combat missions.
This is a bad version of Hunt for Red October.
Yes, sir, it certainly is. Back when Alec Baldwin was actually, enjoyable to watch on the screen.
Bless you, brother. Thank you for taking my call.
Jerry, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Yeah, I do think they would, given the opportunity, they would do that. I mean, good golly, folks, they shut down the entire country over the China virus pandemic, right? I mean, come on. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stern's Radio Show. Have you told a friend? Call up a friend and tell them, hey, you need to be listening to the Todd Stern's Radio Show. That's where we need a much bigger front porch by the time it's all said and done. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us Congressman Kevin Hern. He is chairman of the Republican Study Committee. And Congressman, the breaking news, the vote to hold Merrick Garland in contempt. Your reaction to that?
Well, certainly it's no member of Congress is above, or no member of anything that we do out there is to see. see anybody think they're above the law. And what certainly Merrick Garland has done is tried to intervene with our constitutional duty as members of Congress to do oversight over the executive branch. And when we know what we've seen in the transcript alone, where he talks about, you know, it's an elderly man with a poor memory, and he doesn't see why there's a problem with classified documents because he's writing a book. I mean, all of these things are problematic, and what Chairman Jordan of the Judiciary Committee has demanded is that we get the audio tape so we can see actually what has been changed in the transcript. And Merrick Garland said he is not going to give it to the Judiciary Committee, and therefore there's going to be a contempt of Congress vote, and I believe it will pass.
So I'm curious here, what happens next? Is he arrested? Does this go to the Senate? What happens next?
Well, we're going to see what happens. But, you know, if you look at Steve Bannon, he appealed it, but he lost his appeal, and now he's going to jail, according to what happens there. We've seen that with Peter Navarro. You know, this will be what happens with this individual, Merrick Garland, the attorney general, the head law enforcement person of the country, is refusing to obey the law. There ought to be a real problem with that in American people's eyes. I think it goes back to what we have seen time and time again with this administration, is they think that there's the law doesn't apply to them. Too serious system of justice. That's why the American people are pushing back on Joe Biden and his future administration possibilities, lowest approval rating anybody ever ran for president. And they want this attorney general to be held accountable. And, you know, when we're going to see when we hear ultimately the audio tapes, we're going to find out that this president is unfit to be the president of the United States again.
Well, it just seems to me, based on even if you don't hear the tapes, if the reason why they're not releasing the tapes is because or the reason why the special counsel decided not to charge him is because he didn't believe that Biden was, you know, had the mental capacity, that to me makes the guy already ineligible.
Well, certainly what Merrick Garland said is that these audio tapes have no legitimate purpose. Those are his words, to justify or validate the interviews. We know that in court, the most damning pieces of evidence you hear are the actual audio recordings of people saying things. I mean, they do this time and time again, not what somebody transcribed. We know that it's Biden's own people that are transcribing those audio tapes. I mean, my goodness, look at what he did with just the teleprompter alone. He talked about, you know, said his piece and then actually read out loud the caption pause, meaning for him to pause in his speech. And when we got those transcripts, the pause piece had been removed, even though he actually said that in his interview, his press conference. So we know that they're editing these audio tapes in a way that's it's going to make him look better. And so we want to look at this as we go forward to see if he's fit to be in office. That's what we have the oversight, the constitutional responsibility to do. There's an impeachment inquiry that's been called forward. And inside of that, it's for the person that's being looked at to be impeached to, you know, put forth evidence that says he shouldn't be impeached. And right now, you got the Attorney General of the United States of America blocking the ability to do that.
All right. So just to be clear, about 23 minutes ago, the House, tell me about the vote. It was a 208 to 207 vote. When will the entire House vote to hold Garland in contempt?
Well, the House has voted to hold him in contempt, and so now then it'll go forward, and we'll see what the response is from the Attorney General. I've been in meetings since that vote. I have not seen what the response has been. You're the first person I've talked to since we took the vote, so I'm sure this afternoon is going to be very active in the Department of Justice to see what they put forward and do they present the tapes. And then also what the president's going to say. This is a pivotal moment for the American people to see that the executive branch is not responding to an equal branch of government's request to see what was actually said. And this while in and of itself about what it says versus what the actual transcript is, may not be as important as the fact that the executive branch is thinking that they have no accountability to the people's House, to the House representatives, the people that are closest, you know, the legislators that are closest to the American population. That in and of itself is a major detour from our constitutional values of checks and balances, and that's what we have to be gravely concerned about in this instance.
Congressman, real quick, I know that Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna said that she wants to introduce a inherent contempt of Congress charge if the DOJ does not do their job. Is that a viable option for you guys?
Well, certainly we're looking at every option right now. I know that the Chairman Jordan is looking at this to see what our next steps are. But we have to rein in this executive branch and some of the egregious actions that they're taking.
Yeah.
And we'll look at every avenue possible in, up into and including that.
I'm with you 1,000%. I mean, this is we have to hold the administration accountable. You guys don't want to throw him in jail. You just want the audio tapes, right? That's what we're after.
Yep. Let the American people make the decision. We're close enough to an election now. The ultimate decision will be made in November 5th about who the next president should be. We believe it's President Trump.
All right. Good stuff. Well, Congressman, I know you're a busy man today. Appreciate you taking some time for the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. There you go, folks. Kevin Hearn, chairman of the Republican Study Committee. And that vote has been had. A slight confusion there, but we got that sorted out and the vote has been had. Now we wait to hear the next step. The Justice Department could release the audio tapes. They could do that. We're also waiting for a response from the White House. We'll bring that to you in the next hour as well. All right. Let's hold on. I was going to go to Miss Carlotta in Rhode Island, but we're going to hold tight because we're running out of time here. I do want to encourage you folks to go and get yourself a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? You are going to love this book, folks, and it is a book that will inspire you and will encourage you. And then I want you to go tell somebody else to go read that book. We are all a grassroots effort. Everything we do on this program, we do with you guys. We're not a big corporate entity. We don't have massive marketing budgets. So we're grassroots. We're local, local, local. That's what we do, and that's what we're all about, and we're proud of that. But we need your help to spread the word about the new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? You can get a copy at your favorite bookstore. We love our friends at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. Great, great conservatives. They allow conservative authors to come in, and we greatly appreciate that. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three of The Big Show coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. And we are following some developments down in South Florida, where we're getting word now that the U.S. has deployed warships. And by the way, people out on the beach in Miami, in South Beach, are actually posting videos of military choppers, the whole nine yards, out there, and a very active scene. The warships are basically shadowing the Russian fleet. Now, the Russian fleet about 25 miles from Key Largo, and they're down in Havana for these war game things. And we understand that there's also a nuclear submarine down there. That would be the Russians. And it is a little tense out there. But this huge Russian naval flotilla that's just about 30 miles off South Florida's coast. A little odd. We're going to keep you updated on those developments as well. By the way, coming up tonight on the Todd Starnes Show on Newsmax, we're going to be talking to Chris Ruddy, the CEO of Newsmax. Also, Jonathan Gilliam is going to join us to talk about the crazy story that Jim Jordan shared yesterday, where FBI agents have been told that if they support Donald Trump, they could lose security clearance. So we're going to talk to Gilliam about that. And Sherry Few is going to be here. High schoolers now being asked to discern the difference between sex assigned at birth and gender. We're going to get the lowdown there as well. Right now, though, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have Scott Coulter joining us. He is the chairman and CEO of Danbury Institute. also a professor at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. And Scott, busy day at the Southern Baptist Convention, and from what I understand, from what I can gather on social media, a not-so-good day for conservatives.
Absolutely, Todd. Grateful to be here. Honored to be on. Thank you for having me, and greetings from sunny Indianapolis. But yes, not the best day we've had at the Southern Baptist Convention. Things are heading leftward here, have been for some time now, and we've tried to turn them around a few different ways, but this is another year of status quo for us, continuing that leftward drift once again.
So there are a couple of issues, Scott, from what I understand. Number one was electing a convention president. There was a good conservative in the mix. I'm just curious, who's the new president? I'm not familiar with this person.
Yes, this is, we've just elected Clint Presley, and he's from Hickory Grove, North Carolina, very well-known pastor, a large church out there. But the conservative option this year, or at least the strongest conservative option, was Dr. David Allen, a professor at Mid-America Seminary there, where you are in Memphis once again, and a strong conservative preacher and one who represented really the movement trying to change the direction of the SBC back to champion our historic conservative values that have made the convention strong for so long and have brought Southern Baptists to the forefront of cultural engagement and standing for truth in our country and around the world. And he was defeated just a few moments ago by a very narrow margin. About 23 votes made the difference going into the third ballot runoff there. And so that gives you just an idea of how close these elections are, razor thin margins between candidates. And there's a struggle right now for the direction of the SBC, certainly.
Do you see, I mean, it seems to me, and I'm maybe overstating the case here, it seems to me that the Southern Baptist Convention this week is really setting itself, or at least moving itself, towards that slippery slope that the United Methodists went down and that the PCUSA crowd went through many years ago.
Absolutely. That's the drift that takes place in mainstream religion. And we've seen it time and time again, from the Methodists to the Presbyterians to the Anglicans, all across the way. You begin to open a toehold into your denomination with something that seems innocuous and perhaps even well-intentioned, and that turns into full acceptance of ordaining women ministers and acceptance of LGBTQ agendas. And we see that with churches with rainbow flags flying on their front flagpoles now all across this country. So that drift starts somewhere. And there's an entire movement within the SBC to stop the movement of female pastors. And there was an amendment to our Constitution being considered this year that would have done that. And that was also just defeated, was not required with the margin there to pass that. It passed last year and took a second year this year, but also was not successfully passed this morning. And so two blows to conservatives here who are trying to keep the SBC tethered to the right. And this is, of course, as you know, our really last strong conservative denomination within Christendom in the United States. And so this is a troubling day here for us in a lot of ways.
Scott, I understand one of the Southern Baptist entities, and this is the one that does a lot of lobbying, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, ERLC. Russell Moore was the longtime head of that, took it completely leftist and woke. There was a movement or an effort to abolish the ERLC. How did that go?
Yes, that was. That was presented by Dr. Tom Askell, a pastor from Cape Coral, Florida. And that motion is made every few years. There's a growing discontent with the ERLC, and so pastors have continued that attempt. And it was defeated this morning as well, but the numbers supporting that motion are growing every year. And so it was much closer. Dr. Askell made a tremendously strong argument about the ineffectiveness of the ERLC. They have undermined some anti-abortion efforts going on in Louisiana. And we really can't see much that they're doing for life or for liberty in our country right now, which is very disappointing. Southern Baptists should be leading on the front edge of that. And they've been AWOL for some time now. We do some work in Washington, D.C., and have had a hard time finding legislators and congressmen who know and are working well with them. And so that motion came out of that discontent with the situation there. And while it was not a majority this year, there is definitely a growing support for holding the ERLC to greater accountability in that way.
So we have Scott Colter with us, chairman of the Danbury Institute. That's danburyinstitute.org. That's the website, danburyinstitute.org. So, Scott, I mean, from your vantage point, what's the problem here? Why can't conservatives seem to get wins in the Southern Baptist Convention these days?
It's tremendously frustrating, and churches are effectively quitting showing up, and they've stopped giving and supporting in a lot of ways. And so the funds that are given to the cooperative efforts of Southern Baptist are decreasing year over year, and the number of messengers and participants that are sent from churches to participate in the convention are decreasing. And so as these trends continue, Southern Baptist are moving increasingly independent, and they are working within their churches and their local communities, but the cooperative efforts together are certainly struggling as we seem to move this direction. There's also just a lack of general apathy right now, and the left has pumped these lies into this marketplace of religion that you can't be faithful to the gospel and to scripture and also be involved in politics and cultural engagement, that you have to pick one. And that's one of the things we're trying to push back on with the Danbury Institute, is that faithful Christians should be on the front line of engaging culture and contending for truth and standing up for these values, marriage and gender and the abortion issue. All of those things are religious values that are in the public square, and Christians don't need to be shrinking away from the front line. They need to be running to the front lines and engaging, and that's what we're calling for and hoping that Southern Baptists will pick up that banner as they have for so long before.
You guys, do you think this is where it's all going, is to the, you know, the Southern Baptist pastors soon affirming gay marriage and waving those rainbow flags?
That's absolutely where this trajectory ends. If you look back historically at the Methodist denomination, which has gone to that place now, and others that are affirming of that as well, it began with a turning away from Scripture as the ultimate authority for what you do in the church. And to allow these doctrines to come in, it usually starts with ordaining and allowing female pastors, and it moves all the way into ordaining and recognizing homosexual marriages, LGBTQ agenda, those types of things. That absolutely is where this trajectory ends, and we have historical accounts that show the end of the road, and if we don't change course, that's where Southern Baptists are headed as well.
It's interesting. You guys brought President Trump in. He did a virtual appearance at your Life and Liberty Forum. How was the president received?
He was received very, very well in the room. Lots of warm applause and excitement. He was willing to participate in that, and certainly outside in the broader SBC, that was not well received and did not go over so well here. But with our group, they were strongly supportive of that, and we've got strong support within the conservative faction of the SBC, certainly rallying there with us. So we're just a divided group right now. There's a group that's increasingly becoming more and more separated, and we're trying to hold all of that together. But grateful for the president's endorsement and support there in those ways. And there's only two choices coming up in this election. There's one who will protect life and stand for the protection of innocent life, and one who's looking to codify abortion and to put that permanently on the books in this country and have a culture of death, especially for unborn and the innocent among us. And so I don't think Southern Baptists or evangelicals in this country have a choice. We have to support the option that aligns with our biblical values.
And again, you guys, the Danbury Institute, I mean, you guys have a lot of Baptists, but is it open to the, you know, Christians and other denominations?
It's open to anyone, absolutely. We're a conservative organization that's a coalition for life and liberty. And so we're following the example of the original Danbury Baptist in America that made an association to contend and advocate for their religious values and to champion religious liberty in 1790 all the way through the early 1800s. Corresponding with Thomas Jefferson, we're pulling back to that history and wanting to be free from state oversight, have freedom of worship, freedom of religion, freedom of liberty there in that sense, and then also to champion the sanctity of human life. And we're a coalition of churches and organizations all standing together as a united front to push back on those two areas specifically in our country and in our culture.
Scott, I was going to ask if you're a betting man, but you're a good Baptist, so I'll reframe the question. What does the future look like? You think churches are going to be leaving the convention?
They are leaving the convention already. It's happening year after year. There's thousands of churches that are turning in what we call our ACP number, the annual church profile number, which is just symbolic of a church that's participating in the convention activities. And so increasingly, churches are becoming functionally independent. They're doing their own thing and ministering in their communities. But we have always believed that Baptists can do more together than they can individually. And so we want to call them back in. But until we see some changes and some things turn around, that's probably not possible and not likely to turn around. And so we're working from inside and from outside to do that and to see that turnaround. If Southern Baptists go the way of Methodists and other denominations, there's really nowhere else to go. And so this is the fracturing of conservative evangelicalism in America that we're watching before our eyes here.
All right. Well, Scott, good stuff. And again, folks, we have a link on our website, danburyinstitute.org. That's danburyinstitute.org. www.mfstennessee.org. Scott, appreciate the intel. We were hoping for better news, but onward and upward.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
All right. There you go. So I know we have a lot of Baptists that listen to this show, and this is a really sad thing that's happened here. But again, a lot of churches just didn't show up. I mean, we had, what, 4,000 or 5,000 people there. There are 13 million people in the Southern Baptist Convention, allegedly. So you would think that more folks would have shown up. But this is what happens. Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. And now the Southern Baptist Convention is positioning itself, as you just heard Mr. Coulter say, positioning itself to eventually embrace many ideas that were once considered contrary to Scripture. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I suspect you're going to see basically the Southern Baptist Convention eventually split. And at that point, it's just going to be bad for the culture at large. I got to share this story with you. Russell Sage College, it's in New York State. Never heard of this place. Russell Sage College, they are launching a new gender-affirming voice program. Now, this is a 20-hour course. And the whole point of this course is to teach boys who think they are girls to sneeze and cough like the ladies. So, you know, right now, it's not good enough now. It's not good enough just to put on a dress, right? You gotta go a step further now. And it's not good enough to just put on, you know, slather on the makeup or shave, you know, do the whole waxing. That's not good enough. So there's another school, actually, that's launched a similar program here. And the whole point of this is to teach, they're calling them gender diverse students. And they're going to be teaching them how to talk like a lady. I've been working on this, Dylan, so I was practicing my lady voice. Hello, Dylan. How are you today? Hello, America. I'm Todd Starnes.
Todd, I think you may need to take this course.
You think so?
I'm pretty sure about this.
I don't know, Dylan. I sound rather girlish.
The rasp in your voice kind of gives it away.
Really? You can tell that I'm a guy? Can you, ladies and gentlemen, across the fruited plain? I can't do this.
Stop this.
Stop. It's terrible. So it's not. So now what they're doing here is that they're going to teach these guys nonverbal communication, too. Right. So they're going to show you how to, like, sashay. You know, you got to move your hips. You know, the ladies, you walk different than we guys do. So they're going to teach you guys how to walk like a lady down a sidewalk. They're going to put you in the, what, 12-inch heels? Is that a thing for the ladies? I don't know. It's a very high heel. And then on the other side, because, you know, you got a lot of lesbians out there. Well, transgender, well, you've got the magenta-haired crowd. And so anyway, they're going to teach them how to burp and scratch their nether regions. The college says the kids are going to become more confident and the more feminine they become. But it just seems to me, ladies and gentlemen, that this is just proof that the transgender movement is 100% make-believe. And by the way, there's only one way to change your voice. It's called puberty. But I am working on my sneeze. Here we go, Dylan. Achoo. Achoo. Maybe it needs a little bit more work. All right. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Achoo. All right. Let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Rhode Island, Carlotta. Hey, Carlotta, what's on your mind today?
Oh, a lot. You know, I don't expect you to remember, but years ago, when everyone thought that Joe Biden was the best father since Dr. Spock, I called and said he had no right to run for president knowing what was in his son's background and what this would do to him. And today, I heard two people on the radio, finally, on like an MSNBC type of thing, come around to saying that, well, it was kind of selfish of him to run, to put his own ambition and greed. And, you know, I'm wondering, I read all his biographies and whatever, and I don't know, like, what is it about me? You're a man of faith and a communicator. Why is it that a man who has experienced so much personal loss, I cannot work up a bit of sympathy for?
It's a fair question. There is something very weird about him. And I remember, Carlotta, you may remember this, back when he ran for president and back in the 1980s, and he got sidelined because of the whole plagiarism thing. There's just something very untrustworthy about the guy.
Well, you know what? I hate to be so black, Todd, but I think we elected incarnate evil. I think, you know, they say bad things about Trump. He's a flawed man. But you hear all these anecdotes. He helped this person. He bailed that person out. He came to the rescue of this one. I've never heard a good anecdote about Joe. Never.
Carlotta, I haven't either. That is a great observation. Hey, we got to take a break here. Folks, hang tight. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Our number, 901-260-5926. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend, Congressman Matt Rosendale from Montana, a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Todd, great to be back on with you.
All right. So, Congressman, you guys had the vote to hold Merrick Garland in contempt. What is the next stage now? What happens next?
So they didn't hold the vote yet, Todd. It is coming up. We had the rule today that we approved. And obviously that's a procedural motion that's made in order to get us to the point that we can bring that bill forward. I'm expecting it to come on tomorrow, probably on the floor tomorrow, and from there, you know. We'll see if it passes. Golly day, you saw we barely were able to muster up the votes together to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas, and that guy has been the architect of, if you will, of the disassembly of our southern border.
Congressman, once this vote is had, and I know that Congresswoman Luna is out there, and she's wanting to take this a step further and to ensure that the sergeant-at-arms would actually arrest Garland, is that an important thing? I think it's an important thing to happen. If he's not going to turn over the tapes, he's got to be in jail.
Look, I will tell you that if Congress does not assert its authority, then people just ignore us. That's what it boils down to. And so he has been subpoenaed. He did not honor the subpoena. He's been given every opportunity to make good on this request, and he has ignored it with very, very weak arguments about how he shouldn't have to. And now they're trying to exert executive authority to say that it can be exempt. But Congress has to assert its authority, Todd. That's what it boils down to. And so we need to pass this resolution. We need to hold Merrick Garland in contempt. And we need to take whatever action is necessary so that the request of Congress can be fulfilled. And quite frankly, I wish we did it more often. I wish we exercised our authority under the budgeting process to defund a lot of these agencies until they do what they are supposed to. I wish that we exercise our authority on these agencies that completely ignore statute and pass rules that contradict those statutes. We have to exert our authority.
Congressman, I'm wondering what those ultimately, what is the end goal here? Because y'all aren't the only ones wanting these audio tapes. You've got a lot of news agencies out there as well. Bottom line, why is it that the administration, why do you think they don't want these things released?
Because they will show just how feeble, quite frankly, the current president is. Joe Biden is suffering from not just the onset, but the ongoing symptoms of dementia, and they are worsening each and every day. And for these tapes to come out in his own voice will reflect that he doesn't have the ability to govern, quite frankly, Todd, and it's dangerous. While it would educate the American people on just who is sitting in the White House, it's also going to educate our adversaries, and so that knife actually does cut both ways. But the American people need to understand who is in that position so that they also understand that he's not the one calling the shots right now. And I think that has been established as well. I was the insurance commissioner in Montana when Joe Biden was running for office, okay, so in 2020. So in 2019, I was the commissioner of securities and insurance, and the state of Montana has extremely strict elder abuse laws. And I made it perfectly clear to my staff that should the Biden entourage arrive and land at any place in Montana, that I immediately wanted the staff taken into custody for elder abuse, because at that point you could already recognize the onset of dementia. And since that time, it has worsened dramatically. And his wife should be ashamed of herself. Jill Biden should be absolutely ashamed of herself. But these audio tapes, Todd, would expose that very clearly to the general public, and that is why they're working so hard to keep it out of the public purview.
So you really think that she should face charges here?
I think that she is guilty of elder abuse. I do.
Wow. Look, I'm not disagreeing at all. She's almost, you know, going back in history to Woodrow Wilson when he had the strokes, and the first lady was basically the de facto president. I mean, she was running the show. You wonder if Jill has some sort of involvement at that level with, you know, when it comes to Obama and Susan Rice.
Whether she's directing policy or not, I don't know. But what she has done is been a strong, strong advocate for him to continue to sit in office and to pursue reelection. And that is shameful.
Congressman, I'm just curious, what do you make of the reporting yesterday? 8 terrorists caught, nabbed. I suspect there are a heck of a lot more out there. What sort of danger are we in as a country right now?
It horrifies me, Todd. I've taken 4 trips down to the southern border over the last 4 years, and the situation down there has worsened. We know that it's worse than the UN, I mean, as far as representation from other countries. There's somewhere between 165 and 168 nations that have been represented sneaking across the border. We know there's somewhere north of 20,000 Chinese nationals that have come in across the border. People say, well, they've been vetted and they've been, you know, checked out and they've been released in our country. The problem is, if you're coming here from Jordan or from Syria or from Uzbekistan, there is not any records in those countries of origin to be able to tell us if you're a criminal or not. So what we're doing is creating the baseline of an identification system at the border. Okay, so people are fingerprinted. We get some kind of a name from them, and then they are released into our country, many of them, until they can have their asylum status, which they are claiming, adjudicated, and hearings are set for 6, 7, 8 years in advance. And so if they commit any crime between now and then, and you've got fingerprints on record, you can say, okay, this matches with the identification of a person who came across the border on such and such a date. The problem is we don't have the ability to truly vet who they are. I've been screaming for 4 years about this whole problem. including beginning with refugees. Before we had this botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, I could see that they were gearing up for it and that we were going to end up with a bunch of refugees. And I came out very publicly, very vocally on the record saying this does not create a situation where we are obligated to take a bunch of refugees. And what happened? We saw the botched withdrawal, and the next thing you know, we've got 100,000 refugees located in three army bases around the country who were granted parolee status. That parolee status means they can go anywhere in the country that they choose to, and they were not vetted. And the reason that they stayed on the bases as long as they did, Todd, was because they were getting three hots and a cot. And so it was very comfortable. But as they had their connections established, they soon moved out. And we can't track those people any longer. And now we're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 million people that have come across the southern border, another probably 2 million that have not had any interaction with law enforcement or legal authorities whatsoever. That's what they call the gotaways. And so, yeah. Do I think that there's a very big national security risk within our country? Yeah. And the war hawks around this city are talking about China and Russia, and they're overseas. I'm worried about the people that have already come into our country.
Yeah, I'm with you. Not to mention the Russian Navy that's parked off the Florida coast about 25 miles away.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's very disturbing. It's very disturbing.
Well, Congressman, no, it's all disturbing. Here's my theory, and something's not adding up here. I mean, the Democrats are not that stupid. I mean, even James Carville gets it. You know, he is like, we've got to have somebody else. And I just don't see how Biden's going to be the nominee, or they think they've got enough illegals coming across voting that they've got this in the bag. Or something very, very bad is going to happen in this country, and we may not be able to have an election in November, Congressman.
I don't know what their strategy is, but I can assure you the Democrat Party has got some kind of a strategy. And whether that's replacing Joe Biden or whether it's just making sure they don't have to use 10 million people, okay, to get votes to win an election. What they have is about 100,000 people strategically placed in states that are the swing states in certain areas. And that, you know, the Electoral College takes care of the rest of it. They know which states are going to go red. They know which states are going to go blue, and it's those swing states, and they start counting the Electoral College votes, and they just make sure that they have 100,000 votes, whether they're living individuals or folks that they take a name off of a headstone, to make sure that they get that vote and get it cast for their candidate, and that's where it lies.
All right, real quick before we let you go, you've seen the videos of the president at Normandy, and he stops and then he like squats down. Have you've seen that? And I'm sure you've seen all the hashtags.
I have not seen that footage, but I can tell you this: I've seen enough footage of Joe Biden trying to deliver a speech, mumbling his way through it. Trying to find his way onto the stage, having Jill Biden lead him off of the stage. I sat in the State of the Union address this year and listened to him try and work his way through that speech. And it is clear to any reasonable individual that this man does not have the complete control over his mental facilities.
No doubt about that. I'm just, you know, we've seen all the rumors. We're just trying to verify if anybody had actually been down, if you were, you know, downwind of that when it happened. But anyway, Congressman, we will leave it there. We do appreciate all your great work.
Hey, my friend, I can tell you right now, everybody talk about falling down on their knees. Everybody needs to get on their knees and start praying, because prayer is what's going to lead us through this mess.
Yes, indeedy. A mess indeed. All right. Congressman Matt Rosendale, the great congressman from Montana. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Todd. God bless you and your
listeners. God bless you. All right. So got a note from somebody, and they said that maybe when Biden, you know, we were trying to figure out what Biden was saying yesterday. He did the whole mumbling thing. We couldn't really understand what he was saying. And somebody said that maybe he was wanting asking for some depends. Maybe that's what that was. I don't know. I don't know. Let's go to the phones here. Betty in North Carolina. Betty, what's on your mind today?
Well, I know your time is short, and I thought this man, Rosendale, was wonderful. I was enthralled with what he was saying. It was exactly right. But I just want the Republicans to drop the stay in advertising thing. Threaten Joe Biden with the 25th Amendment. Make it circulate so that people hear it, other people hear it from other stations. Because, you know, maybe Merrick Garland will realize unless we get that, we'll invoke that 25th Amendment. So I know you haven't got time. I was going to say something else, but that's fine. As long as I can get that across, that I think we should kind of, you know, infiltrate in our in Republicans. Just drop it a while. Because Trump asked, I guess he was going to ask Biden to have a cognitive test done, which you know where the answer would be. And it may have to be done after this debate. But just drop the sentence. We're looking at invoking the 25th Amendment.
Okay. All right, Betty, we got it. Thank you for calling in. A little rough phone connection there. Sorry about that. Folks, let's hang tight. Got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Well, this is funny. So, our morning show host on KWAM in Memphis, Ben Teeter, Ben just speaks the truth, and now he's being accused of being a white supremacist. Little Ben Teeter. Tammy Sawyer, she's a radical, raging white hater. This woman hates white people. She is a black supremacist, and she's just a very unkind person. Everything is racist to this chick. And so anyway, she's very upset, and she's calling KWAM, our flagship station, a white supremacist radio. And now a state senator, London Lamar, she's accusing KWAM of always attacking black people. Ma'am, you misspelled people. It's people is P-E-O-P-L-E, unless that's maybe that's the white way to spell it. I don't know. And then, Tammy Sawyer, she makes Fat Alvin Bragg look like, I don't know. I'm not going to finish that sentence. Hashtag Jenny Craig. So anyway, I'm just saying, so we've got your back, Dieter. You hang in there. You keep speaking the truth to the culture. Wow. I'm telling you, KWAM is really causing chaos among the liberals in Memphis because I own it, so they can't like call up corporate headquarters. That radio station, they're just big meanies. They're conservative. You got to take them off the air. Yeah, we don't play that game here. We speak truth to the culture here, and it irritates some people. All right, let's go to Steve in Arkansas. Steve, what's going on?
Todd, this deal with Merrick Garland refusing to turn over this audio to Congress, we've been down this road before. There's precedents on this. There's Supreme Court rulings and anything. Did anybody not ever hear the White House tapes during Watergate and the Nixon administration?
Brought down the White House.
Yeah, we brought down the White House. The only time a president's left the White House before his term was out standing up in the history of this country. And well, it was over edited tapes that a president refused to turn over. And when he finally had to and the Supreme Court ruled and made him turn them over, they had been edited.
Yes, it had. So, Steve, and again, to your point, we're going to have to wrap it up here. But to your point, that led to the end of Nixon's administration. So we'll see how this plays out. Hey, folks, I got to tell you real quick, go to NewsmaxPlus.com to register. That's NewsmaxPlus.com to get your access to Newsmax on your smartphone. NewsmaxPlus.com. You can register, download. You can start a free trial right now by simply going to NewsmaxPlus.com. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up. Get out there. Have a great day. We will see you on Newsmax, 5 o'clock Eastern. Be good, America.